بر دیگر بڑا ترسا روا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأخذها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين ثم بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قال فبعزتك لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم وعن خلفهم ومن خلفهم وعن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين فقال أيضا إن جهنم لموعدهم أجمعين لها سبعة أبواب صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد.
Our discussion was going on regarding the seven doors which are found in the existence of every human being, and it's our obligation as a believer and as a mu'min and a Muslim to keep away from the deceptions of shaitan so that he may not deceive us and drag us to the hellfire through one or several of those doors which are available. And the more we abstain from the attachment of this dunya, like I mentioned in the last night's speech, the more we will be empowered to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because hubbud dunya has been mentioned in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
As hubbud dunya ra'su kulli khati'atin. The love of dunya is the root cause of all the sins. So this is the major reason, one of the major reasons why so much importance has been laid in Islam regarding this matter. But before I move forward to the subject, we would certainly like to address the issue of the innocent civilians in the occupied territories and in the Gaza Strip, which right now we are witnessing this ruthless massacre conducted by the Zionist regime, the Zionist racist, oppressive regime of Israel, and which is supported by the Bush administration. And we strongly condemn the barbaric activities which are being conducted by the Zionist regime of Israel and which are being openly supported by the Bush administration. There is no justification according to any rule and any law whatsoever for killing any innocent civilian person. Whether you do it in the name of collateral damage or whatever label you can assign to this crime, there is no justification for killing any innocent civilian person. And we protest and we condemn these atrocities, and we urge all the Muslims, specifically all of you respectable brothers and sisters present here in this gathering, and all those brothers and sisters who can hear my voice on the websites, on different websites where they may be listening to this speech, I sincerely urge all the mu'mineen and mu'minat to feel their responsibility in terms of protesting against this calamity and this biggest cancer tumor in the body of the Muslim Ummah, which is the Zionist regime conducting these atrocities. It's our religious obligation to condemn the oppression. Islam is a religion of peace, but we have every right to condemn the aggression and violence, and we are proud over the fact that our leader, Samahatul Wali al-Faqih, Hafizahullah, and the rest of the Maraji, may Allah protect all of them who have issued their verdicts, given their fatwas, and openly condemned these atrocities. And you must have been hearing the fatwas coming from the leader and the rest of the Maraji about the situation in Gaza and the massacre of the civilians which is going on right now. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank our leadership, and we thank the Maraji, may Allah protect all of them, for enlightening the Islamic Ummah and for fulfilling their obligation to inform us what we are supposed to do in front of this problem. Please say salawat. Alhamdulillah, we are witnessing several protests going on peacefully in different parts of the United States, from the East Coast to the West Coast. Today we had a very successful protest by our community in Seattle, alhamdulillah, in the downtown, and likewise in different other cities in the United States and elsewhere in Europe and the Middle East. And it's our responsibility to make our voice heard. Not just stay in our homes and just feel in our hearts that there is something wrong going on. This is not enough. Because the Holy Prophet had said, مَنْ سَمِعَ مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي يَا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَمْ يُجِبْهُ فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ. Someone who heard the voice of a Muslim calling for help, but he didn't reply back positively, is not a Muslim. مَنْ أَصْبَحَ وَلَمْ يَهْتَمَّ بِأُمُورِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ. Someone who dawns, enters into his mourning, but he doesn't give importance to the affairs of the Muslims, is not a Muslim. So Islam is a religion which has everything to do with the society and social and political obligations. So, it's the major cause which again blocks us from performing our obligation is the same attachment towards this dunya that we were discussing, which is the major way of deception, how Satan deceives us into entering to the hellfire through one or several of those seven doors which I mentioned. And it has been narrated in the history that the Holy Prophet, one of his wives had actually, she folded the abba. Prophet had no mattress to sleep on. Prophet used to sleep on his abba. He used to fold it, the abba used, it was folded like two folds, two layers, and used to sleep on that. One of the nights, what happened is that one of his wives folded the abba into four layers to make it further soft and, you know, comfortable for the Holy Prophet to sleep. And that night when Prophet slept on the four layers of his abba instead of two layers, he woke up a little bit late for his Salatul Layl. So when he woke up, he said to his wife that, "Don't fold my abba into four layers. Instead, you fold it into the same two layers. Because you folded it like, because of those four layers, I woke up late in the morning for the munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So the more we get inclined towards this dunya, Prophet is not inclined towards the dunya, but this is a lesson for us to learn. The more we get inclined towards this dunya, the more we find we will become ghafil and ignorant towards our responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Adam, بِقَدْرِ مَا يَمِيلُ قَلْبُكَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا أُخْرِجُ مُحَبَّتِي مِنْ قَلْبِكَ. Isn't that the Hadith al-Qudsi informs us, "O the son of Adam, the more your heart gets inclined towards the love of this dunya, the more I'm going to take my love out of your heart." فَإِنِّي لَا أَجْمَى حُبِّي وَحُبَّ الدُّنْيَا فِي قَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ أَبَدًا. Because I'm not going to combine my love and the love of dunya in one heart. It's not going to happen. And Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam has said in his hadith that مَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ. Please pay attention. مَثَلُ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ. Example, the parable of this dunya is that of the water of the ocean. كُلَّمَا شَرِبَهُ الْعَجْشَانِ ازْدَادَ عَتَشًا. The more a thirsty person drinks from the water of the sea or the ocean, the further thirsty he becomes. حَتَّى يَقْتُلَهُ. Till the time would arrive that the sea water is, you know, the sea water is salty. Till the time would arrive that the sea water is going to kill him. It's just like the example, another example has been given in the hadith that the love of this dunya is, you know, it's just like the silkworm, resham ka kira. Silkworm is basically weaving the silk threads around himself. That's what the hadith says. It's weaving the silkworm, the threads around itself, and it thinks that, well, I can still come out one day, it's okay. He keeps on weaving the threads, keeps on weaving the, till the time arrives that that silkworm is surrounded by those bulk of threads, and now he finds himself in a situation that he gets, he cannot breathe, and he dies inside the same thread that he himself has woven. That's exactly the example which is given in the hadith about how a human being gets entrapped into the love of this, an attachment of this dunya. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was walking with three of his companions, Hawariyin, and they were walking through some township and they found a treasure. You know, in old days they used to bury the treasures under the walls. They don't have those safe, you know, lockers like we have today. So they used to bury their treasures, the gold, the silver coins inside their vaults to protect it. So it was a rubble It was a destroyed home and the wall was kind of broken. The treasure came out and there was lots of gold coins. A lot of gold available there. So these, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he saw now his three of his companions have their eye on the gold. He said, the love of dunya is a killer. Dunya ki muhabbat jo hai, wo qatl karne wali hai. That means don't pay attention to this. And he was going for some assignment, for some job, and he continued. And the companions had to get along with Hazrat Isa and continue with him. And they left. But their mind was stuck with that gold. So now, you know, it's there in the history, that it's there in the hadith, that when the gold and silver was converted into coins for the first time, the first person who became happy about this was Satan. The hadith says Satan put the coin over his eyes and said the statement that antuma qurratu aini wa samaratu fuhadi. You both are a means of comfort for me. Tum dono meri aankhon ki dirham o dinar. Tum dono meri aankhon ki thandak ho. Aur mere mewa-e dil ho. Dirham used to be of silver in old days, and dirham and dinar used to be of gold. And the exchange rate was like 10 dirhams are equal to 1 dinar. 10 silver coins equal to 1 gold coin. And in the Arabic grammar, even the word dinar, if you look into the Arabic grammar, it is composed of two different words. Dinun wa narun. Din and nar. This is one of the very important reasons why I always emphasize in my speeches, and certain things I keep on repeating, intentionally keep on repeating certain points, because you never know, some people may not have heard it. So I always emphasize on the fact that we should teach our children the Arabic language and the Islamic terminology and the values and principles of the Holy Quran, which are found in the Arabic language. The values of the Holy Quran, I always say in my speeches and keep on repeating in my speeches, the values mentioned in the Holy Quran cannot be translated into any other language. Allama Tabatabai, you know, used to say the word Al-Karama cannot, has no translation in Farsi. This is what Allama Tabatabai, who wrote the biggest tafsir and the best tafsir of Quran in the history, is saying. We can say karamat, karamat enough. We are basically adopting the same Arabic word into our own language, or in Farsi, also they say karamat enough. In Urdu, we say the same. Because there is no translation for the word karamat. And I can say it has no translation in any language. So it's very important. You know, Imam Khomeini, Ridwanullah alayhi, after Islamic Revolution, he added the Arabic language as an official second language in the Islamic Republic. So that people pay importance to the values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. That's what I always say in my speeches. So basically, this is what you learn when you are familiar with the language. When you learn the word dinar, which is taken from deen and nar. It's a combination of the religion and the fire. Dunya, the word dunya that we are talking and constantly mentioning. If you look at the meaning of the word dunya, you open up a dictionary of Arabic language, it means the lowliest of among all the lowliest things. Tamam past cheezon mein se sabse zyada past. Ye hai lughvi tarjuma lafze dunya ka. If my son can only speak the English language and he translates the word dunya as world, which he is going to translate, it doesn't carry any negative opinion or negative impression in his mind to feel bad about this dunya. Isn't that right? There's nothing wrong about world. What's wrong about world? World is nothing wrong about it. Because the world does not carry the value system and the belief system of Islam. But if my child has been always saying the lowliest among all the lowly things, the lowliest among all the lowly things, the lowliest among all the lowly things, it's going to pound, keep on pounding in his mind, just like you see the Fox News, pounding a news 100 times against Islam and Muslims, when anything comes against Israel, they would never talk about that. Or maybe it just comes up and surface on the surface in the media once or twice and then it's gone. But if there is anything about Islam, they will be pounding it on the minds and ears of the people 100 times a day, possibly. So, this is all our value system. So if we focus on the words and the terminology, that's why I sometimes intentionally use the Islamic terminology, so that our people, our youth, our generations are familiar, they get familiar with the Quranic terms.
What is mustadhafin, you know? It's a terminology. What is the terminology of mahrumin in Islam? What is the terminology of mustakbirin in Islam? What is the terminology of tahut in Islam?
And so on and so forth. These are our terms, just like you learn computer science. It has its own terminology. You learn philosophy, you learn psychology, you learn nuclear science, you learn astrophysics, whatever. It has its terminologies. But you have to get familiar with it.
And some of those terminologies are simply unable to be translated. ڈھونڈتے رہیے آپ عربی زبان میں غیرت کا ترجمہ انگریزی میں اگر کہیں آپ کو مل جائے. ہمیں تو آپ کا غیرت کا ترجمہ نہیں مل سکا.
اس لیے غیرت کا ترجمہ غیرت پائی نہیں جاتی. دس کموڈیٹی از ناٹ اویلیبل ان دا سوسائٹی. وائی وڈ دے میک اے ورڈ ٹو ریپرزینٹ دس کموڈیٹی؟
حیا اور غیرت کا کوئی ترجمہ نہیں.
So what I was saying is that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was, he announced to his Hawariyin, those three companions, that the love of dunya is a killer.
You got to be away from the, you know, don't pay attention to that goal that you saw. Don't pay attention to dunya. It's going to kill you.
So one of the companions, when they moved on, finally said to Hazrat Isa, you know, Ya Rabbi Allah, I recall something. It just came in my mind, I have to go, you know, for that thing. So please excuse me, I have to leave.
And he made some excuse, he furnished some excuse, and he left Hazrat Isa and went to the goat. Hota hai na, insaan koi na koi bahana pesh karta hai mukhtalif cheezon se bachne ke liye. Abhi namaz padhne ka time hai, to hum excuses, people are furnished excuses, you know. I know some people who are working for their Zionist bosses, the Jewish bosses. But they had made clear from day one that I am a Muslim and I have to pray on time. So whenever it's the time of Zuhr prayers, I will take a leave for 5 minutes, I'll stand in the corner and I will pray. And they allow you. Because if you give respect and if you give importance to your own values and principles, people of other faith will also get to learn how to respect and honor your values and principles. If you do not stand for your values and principles, no one is probably going to give importance and respect to your values and principles. You're never counted. This is why we are supposed to protect our identity and keep away from this identity crisis that our communities, generally speaking, are going through this identity crisis.
Job pe maulana aap mujhe call karein to Muhammad nahi kahe, mujhe Mo kahiyega.
Ye wale jhoot main nahi bol sakta. Sayyid se Sydney ho gaye,
Hussain se ho gaye Henry.
یہ سارے جھوٹ جو ہے یہ ہم نہیں بول سکتے. آپ جب اس برائے نام بھی دین کی خدمت نہیں کر سکتے تو آپ کام کیا خاک کریں گے اسلام کے لیے؟
آپ تو اسلام کو ریپرزینٹ ہی نہیں کر رہے. یو آر ناٹ ایون کاؤنٹڈ, یو آر ناٹ دیئر, نوبڈی وڈ کیئر اباؤٹ یو. یو یور سیلف ڈونٹ کیئر اباؤٹ ہو یو آر,
isn't that right? یو یور سیلف ڈونٹ کیئر اباؤٹ, نوبڈی وڈ ایدر, نو ون وڈ کیئر اباؤٹ ہو یو آر.
دیٹس واٹ یو ڈیزرو, یو گیٹ واٹ یو ڈیزرو. And that's the law of annual advance. You always get what you deserve. You have to make yourself deserving and you will find the blessing of Allah coming in your way. So Hadith, what I was saying is that Hadith alayhi salam, this guy, first guy left. And the other two also left one after the other by furnishing different excuses, you know, that we have to go and this and that. And all three combined, they met with each other over that treasure. Now, finally, when they found, they said, okay, now we are going to distribute this treasure among ourselves, three of us.
So, but it's time, it's, we are thirsty. Why don't we just send one of us to go and buy some food? And then, after we eat food, then we can sit together and distribute it equally among ourselves. And they settled upon this plan. One of those three was sent to buy the food. This guy went. And now Satan started his job of deceiving. And he provoked the idea in the mind as well. In addition to buying the food, why don't you also buy some poison? You know, just get rid of those two people, the whole treasure would be yours only. And he did the same. So he bought some poison, he added it into the food, brought it for the rest of the two people, and they were planning, Satan were deceiving them. I told you in my first piece that everybody, for every different person, Satan has a different plan and different means and ways of basically deceiving. One way simply doesn't work for one person. So for the other two, he said, well, why don't you, this treasure should belong to two of us. Who is that person to come and share? You know, so basically when he arrives, let us both together kill him so that we can distribute among two of us only, and that's how we can get a better and bigger share. So that's exactly what they did when the guy returned back. Both of them, they killed this third person, and then they sat together to eat the food. And the food killed them. Actually, nothing killed them, but that same love of dunya is the actual killer for all the three which Hazrat Isa al-Islam had already prophesied to them, already told them. Salawat. Hazrat Isa al-Islam moved forward, continued his trip. He reached to a mountain, and there he found a person 100 years of age. And he had no house. Hazrat Isa himself had no house to live. I told you already. لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ زَوْجَةٌ Imam Ali says, لَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ زَوْجَةٌ تُفْتِنُهُ He had no wife to put him into test. وَلَا وَلَدٌ يَحْزُنُهُ He had no child to make him sorrowful. You know, if you have your children, if you don't have children, you have one sorrow. And if when you have children, you have so many sorrows coming in your way, one way or the other, about different things that are happening to our children. Because we love them. So, the children have sorrows. They bring sorrows for us. وَلَا وَلَدٌ يَحْزُنُهُ He had no son, no children, so that he may end up in sorrow. And then وَلَا تَمَعٌ يُذِلُّهُ He had no greed that can insult him. And, of course, we learned that Hazrat Isa al-Islam has no house to live in. So he used to wander and sleep here and there. So this guy was 100 years old, living on the top of a mountain. Hazrat Isa asked him, talked to him, and he said, well, I am told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my total age is going to be 600 years. So I am now 100 years of age. 500 years are still, about to go. But, so Hazrat Isa says, you didn't make a house for yourself? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I thought that 600 years of age is too little for me to construct a house. Then Hazrat Isa heard that statement. He said, in the final days, there will be people arriving. Majority of those people will be less than 100 years of age, and they will construct so much houses. You know, so much houses. You know, the hadith says that the angel of Allah announces every single day on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِذُو لِلْمَوْتِ وَجْمَعُوا لِلْفَنَاءِ وَابْنُوا لِلْخَرَابِ Addressing to the children of Adam, that reproduce, you know, have children for the sake of God. The end result is everybody is going to die. وَجْمَعُوا لِلْفَنَا Gather whatever you want to gather from this dunya, different, you know, material things of this dunya. But you remember that everything of this dunya is going to be destroyed. Gather whatever you do, ikattha karna hai kar lijiye. جو کچھ کرنا ہو اے بنیان اے آدم جو مرضی کر کٹھیا کرتے پھرو تباہ تو ساری چیزوں کو ہونا ہی ہے ہر دن فرشتہ یہ ندا دیتا ہے ایوری ڈے وَبْنُوا لِلْخَرَابِ، اور بناؤ تعمیر کرو چیزوں کو، کرو اس دنیا پہ تعمیرات، سب کے سب خراب ہونی ہے، کرو تعمیر.
ایوری ڈے دیز آر ون آف دوز وائسز آف عالم ملکوت that we don't hear. Lots of those voices are available, lots of angels are available, you know, so with every drop of rain, Prophet said, an angel comes down. So there are countless number of angels, countless announcements going on, countless things going on, countless voices available. We can only listen to certain decibels and to certain decibels of voices. Anything below those decibels or higher than those decibels is not audible for us, for the human ears. So when we can only listen to certain limited number of voices available around us, we don't have the right to challenge or denounce or deny all those teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt that inform us about the unseeable things which are going on. But they have been listening. Prophet is listening to the voice of the angel every day. And that's the one of the reasons maybe that he's unable to tolerate the condition in which we are going. So this is how the angel announces. And now Hazrat Isa alayhi salam moves forward, and we are talking about the greed of dunya, hirs, dunya ki tama or hirs. And he moves forward, reaches, he finds a rubble, a very broken small slum house. He thought, well, let's see who is there. Sometimes you can find very nice jawahir and pearls in some of the rubbles, and you know, you never know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already said, yukhrijul hayya min al mayyit. Allah takes out a living person from a dead. And this has been, in the tafsir, it has been interpreted, this verse of Holy Quran, yukhrijul hayya min al mayyit, has been interpreted by our mufassirin that Allah takes out a mu'min person from a dead person. That means a kafir. Lots of people are like this. You find there are lots of kafir people, but they are mu'mins coming from their nasl and lineage. And the opposite is also true. There are some kafir, some mu'min people, and you find this Sayyid Peter William Zaidi coming out of this nasl. Because the parents don't care. You know? It's not a surprising. It's available in among the prophecies of the final days, that yusbihu mu'minan wa yumsi kafiran. Kuch log subah ke waqt mu'min honge, sham hone tak kafir ho chuke honge. Ya yusbihu kafiran wa yumsi mu'minan. Subah ke waqt tak mu'min kafir honge, sham dhalne tak, suraj dhalne tak, sham hone tak wo mu'min ho chuke honge. Kisi ne aake, you know, somebody came and asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, said, why didn't Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam took the intiqam? Why didn't Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam take the intiqam and revenge from his enemies when he had the shuja'at and courage and power? And Zulfiqar, he could have taken the revenge. Why didn't he take the revenge? Just kill them. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, لِآيَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Imam Ali al-Islam did that for the sake of one ayat of the Quran. What is that one ayat of the Quran which Imam Sadiq mentioned? لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبْنَ الَّذِينَ كَبَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. That's the ayat which Imam Sadiq al-Islam recited from Surah Al-Fath. لَوْ تَزَيَّلُوا لَعَذَّبْنَ الَّذِينَ كَبَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. If they were separated from each other, if they were separated, we would have punished those of them, you know, who did kufr with a painful torment. So we learn in the light of this verse of Holy Quran that the Ahl Haq and Ahl Batil, Ahlul Iman and Ahlul Kufr are not separated yet. There are lots of people from the lineage of Kafirin, lots of mu'mins are about to be born. From the lineage of Mu'mineen, some kuffar are about to be born, isn't that right? Lots of you find so many of the non-believers who have more conscience alive. We salute those human beings
Those people of the United States who have been protesting on the Lincoln Memorial against the war policies of the Bush administration, anti-war demonstrations, not in our name. Do whatever you want to do, but at least not in our name. These people are better than some of those Muslims who have their conscience bad. Imam Ali Islam also has defined in Nahjul Balagha the definition and ta'rif of Islam in a very clear words, al-Islam huwa taslim. And he said in Nahjul Balagha that لَأَنْسِبَنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ نِسْبَةً, I'm going to define Islam with a definition in a way that no one has ever defined Islam before me, no one will ever define Islam after me better than this definition, except if somebody defines the Islam with a similar one, similar definition. So there is nobody who can ever define Islam with a better definition than this. And then he said, al-Islam huwa al-tasdeeq. Wal-tasdeeq huwa al-tasdeeq. Al-tasdeeq huwa al-yaqeen. Wal-yaqeen huwa al-adaa. Wal-adaa huwa al-amal. Inna al-mu'min akhadha deenahu an rabbihi wa lam ya'khudhu an ra'yihi. Islam, al-Islam huwa al-tasdeeq. Islam jazbae haq pasandi ka naam. حکم خدا کے سامنے سر تسلیم خم کر دینے کا نام ہے. اسلام means the essence of submission towards حق and righteousness. And the essence of submission is nothing but تصدیق and verifying. And verifying is nothing but yaqeen and certitude. And والیقین هو الادا, which means performance. والادا هو العمل, which means action. ان المؤمن, at the end, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, ان المؤمن اخذ دينه عن ربه. The mu'min takes his religion from his Lord. ولم يأخذه عن رأيه. And he doesn't take his religion from his personal opinion. A mu'min is a person who doesn't care about what his opinion is. He cares about what Allah says. It has a ruh-e taslim. So, Maulana Kainat ne jo tareef Islam ki bayan ki hai, wo ye nahi aata bola ki Musliman wo hota hai, is hadith ke andar Nahjul Balagha mein, ye nahi bola Musliman wo hai jo ki Musliman gharane mein paida ho jaye. Ye nahi farmaya Maulana is hadith mein. Na jaane kitne hain jo Musliman gharon mein paida ho rahe hain aur kafiron ki sifat aur nubuwwat اور کافروں کی صفتیں ان کی روح کے اندر پائی جاتی ہیں. بلکہ بعض تو ایسے جن میں وہ کافروں سے بھی بدتر ہیں, کیونکہ ان کو بھی اپنے مذہبی اصولوں کا کم از کم بعض کو پاس ہے, مگر ان کو اپنے مذہبی اصولوں کا کوئی پاس نہیں ہے. ان کا بھی ضمیر زیادہ زندہ ہے بعض کافروں کا, بعض سو کالڈ مومنوں اور سو کالڈ مسلمانوں. پہلے ہمارے پاس کرسچن زائنسٹ ہوا کرتے تھے, یہودی زائنسٹ ہوتے تھے, آج ہمارے پاس شیعہ زائنسٹ بھی پیدا ہو چکے ہیں اس ملک میں, جو کہ زائنزم کی حمایت کرتے پھر رہے ہیں. If it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's a duck. Isn't that right? So آپ اگر تابوت کی حمایت کریں تو آپ بھی تابوت ہی ہیں. سین تو نہیں نکل آتے ہیں حمایت کرنے سے. آپ صہیونزم کی حمایت چاپلوسی ہی کرتے پھر رہے ہیں صہیونسٹوں لوگوں کی, تو آپ بھی زائنسٹ ہیں. That's what it takes to become a Zionist. تو سین تو نہیں نکلتے, you don't grow horns. آپ شیعہ زائنسٹ پیدا ہو چکے ہیں. نہیں, وہ مولانا آپ کی کیسٹ تو میں نے پہنچا دی تھی وہاں, مگر وہ خیر اس میں تو آپ نے کچھ کہا بھی نہیں تھا. سنا آپ نے کیا کیا خدمتیں ہو رہی ہیں, نہیں تو دین کے نام پہ یہ سارے کام ہو رہے ہیں. قربۃ اللہ, قرآن وہ بھی پڑھتے ہیں, اہل بیت کا نام وہ بھی لے رہے ہیں, مجلس میں وہ بھی شرکت کر رہے ہیں, مگر ذرہ برابر کربلا کو نہیں سمجھا. یہ مدرسے کیوں منعقد کی جا رہی ہیں؟ کوئی رسم و رواج نہیں. میں بار بار یہ بات کہتا ہوں اور دہراتا رہوں گا, کچھ باتوں کو میں جان بوجھ کے دہراتا ہوں. کیا کہ ان کی تم کے اوپر تاکید ہونی چاہیے ان باتوں کے اوپر. جیسے حب دنیا کا مسئلہ, اتنی مرتبہ مولا کائنات نے نہج البلاغہ میں دنیا کا تذکرہ تکرار کیا ہے کہ ہمارے فقہا نہج البلاغہ کو کتاب و مذمت دنیا کہتے ہیں, دنیا کی مذمت کی کتاب. اتنی مرتبہ تکرار کیا ہمارا, ایک ہی مرتبہ کہتے تھے. کچھ چیزیں ایسی ہوتی جن کو بار بار تکرار کیا جانا چاہیے. تو میں عرض کر رہا تھا آپ سے, so basically salawat padhi ho so Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went to that house, that slum house, and because I was reciting that verse of holy Quran, yukhrijul hayya min al mayyit, Allah subhanahu, that's where our discussion ended, that Allah takes out a living person from a dead person. And this ayat has been interpreted that Allah jo hai kafir se mu'min ko paida karta hai. So many people from Kaaba, when Imam Ali al-Islam was talking to Malik al-Ashtar, Rahmatullahi alayhi and Salamullahi alayhi, Malik al-Ashtar is not an ordinary person, you know. He is one of the greatest all-time companions of Ahlul Bayt. He is, according to some of the, Aqwal, he is the commander-in-chief of the army of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam tomorrow when he will be resurrected in the time of Raj'at. He is not an ordinary person. So when we talk about Malik al-Ashtar, Rahmatullah alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, we must remember that he is the top-notch companion of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam and commander-in-chief of his army. And tomorrow he will be the commander-in-chief of Imam Mahdi's army and it will be under his command. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, after the battle of Siffin ended, was talking to Malik al-Ashtar, and Malik al-Ashtar had killed 999 people of those kuffar of Banu Umayyah. You know, I'm saying the kuffar of Banu Umayyah intentionally, because once Imam Ali was praying against the people, Badwa Tayyarathe Mawlai Kainat, talking against the people who died in the battle of with Muawiyah, and one person objected on the Imam, Mawla, aap kuch logon ko to mustasna kar de, sab ko shamil na kare apni dua mein. Wo Musalman the. Aapne farmaya, none of them was a Muslim. Yehi to problem hai logon ka. This is exactly what the problem is. People consider both as okay. This is what the problem, where the problem lies. Nahi, wo bhi sahabi-e-rasool hai, ye bhi sahabi-e-rasool hai, wo bhi radiyallahu anhu, qatil radiyallahu anhu, maqtool radiyallahu anhu, zalim, wo bhi achha hai, mazloom, wo bhi achha hai, dono sahabi Allah pe chhod de, sab achhe hai, Allah rizab, Allah ke kaamon mein mudakhalat mat karein. Let's end up in pluralism, that everybody and every religion is okay. Don't talk against anybody, any oppressor. This is the same Zionist plot, which has been promoted by the Zionist lobbies, widely in the academic institutions. The pluralism theory. There is no pluralism concept in Islam, because we are proud to believe in the straight path, which is only and only one. Because logically, mathematically, Islamically, intellectually, it's not possible to comprehend that there are two straight lines that can connect point 1 to point B, point A to point B. There has to be one straight line. Any other option that you can mention to me will not be mustaqim. Isn't that right? ये क्या गुफ्तगू हो रही है कि नहीं वो भी ठीक है नहीं वो भी ठीक है नहीं कोई किसी का ठीक है एक है जो हक पे है उसके अलावा बाकी सब बातें क्यों है नहीं हो सकता कि सारे सही हो तो मैं अर्ज कर रहा था कि जब when Imam Ali al-Islam was talking to Malik al-Ashtar after the end of the battle, and Malik al-Ashtar had killed 999 from those kuffar of Banu Umayyah, and Imam Ali al-Islam had killed 1000, Imam Ali said to Malik al-Ashtar, you know, that means actually he was warning him not to think on those lines, that, well, there's a difference between me and Imam, is just that Imam killed 1000 and I killed 999. It's just a one-man difference. Imam said to him, well, when I was killing those 1000 people, I was looking into the lineage and nasl of those people. Even if there was one moment coming and about to be born, I would leave that person and not kill him. That's the ayat which Imam Sadiq Islam recited when person asked him that why did Imam Ali take the revenge? He said, the people of Ahle Haq and Ahle Batil were not distinguished. Ahle Iman and Ahle Kaf. There are lots of Mu'min people who are about to be born. Didn't Imam Ali Islam say, Muhammadun ibni min sulbi Abi Bakr? Isn't that what Imam Ali said? Muhammad ibn, about Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. Muhammad is my son from the sulb, from the lineage of Abi Bakr. Didn't he say that? Muhammadun ibni min sulbi Abi Bakr. There are lots of people who come from different lineages. So we find that Hazrat Isa alayhi salam went there and found there's an old lady living in that house, and he knocked the door. The lady said, well, we don't, in our town, we don't take guests, We don't allow guests to stay in our houses, but I can see the noor of Saliheen in your face. I can see the noor and nuraniyat in your face. So you are a different person. So, and his son was, when his son came into the house, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam talked to his son, he discovered that his son is maghmoom, kind of sorrowful. And Hazrat Isa asked him, well, what's your sorrow, what's the problem, what is making you sorrowful? And he said, well, I was walking in front of the palace of the king, and I looked at his daughter, and I fell in love with the daughter of the king and Sultan, and that has been disturbing my life. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, see that the hadith, look at that. This is one of the, when we are talking about the deceptions of Satan, this story of Hazrat Isa is so interesting and important, and it has so many lessons. That's why I chose this story to be mentioned. The hadith has already mentioned to us that an-nadharu sahmun min siham iblis. Nigah jo hai shaitan ke teeron mein se ek teer hai. One of the arrows among the arrows of Satan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows us best. It's not possible for a human being to control himself, possibly in the later stages. Allah put a ban at the step number one. You cannot look at non-mahram person with lust. Another sahmun min siham iblis. Right now you are witnessing unfortunately lots of divorces taking place in our communities, generally speaking. And one of the major reason why we are witnessing this scenario, even in the youngsters who have been born in the United States, we are witnessing this problem of divorce. One of the major reasons is that we do not understand the entire purpose of marriage in Islam, which has been emphasized in the ahadith. And you know, when somebody is sent a letter to Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam and said that li ibnatun uridu an uzawwijaha, I have a daughter and I want to marry my daughter, Imam Hussein alayhi salam replied back to him, so I want to you please advise me what kind of spouse shall I seek for my daughter. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam replied back to the person that marry your daughter to somebody, zawwij bintaka aw ibnataka wa tazid minni. Man yattaqi Allah azza wa jal. Marry your daughter to somebody who has the taqwa of Allah. And then Imam Hussain al-Islam provides the dalil for his statement. And the benefit of this statement, that is, فَإِنْ أَحَبَّهَا أَكْرَمَهَا. If he ends up loving your daughter, he would respect your daughter. وَإِنْ لَمْ يُحِبَّهَا لَمْ يَظْلِمْهَا. If he does not love her, he would at least not do any zulm towards her. That's the best what the parents would like to see, that their children, their rights are protected. The best thing that we should be looking for is adakum. I am intentionally addressing this matter because we are witnessing different cases in our communities on this matter. And we find that the Holy Prophet's statement is the final statement on the subject, where he had said that إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَا خُلْقَهُ وَدِينَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ. Whenever somebody comes and proposes to you, whose deendari, whose religion, وَخُلْق and his akhlaq and morality, you are pleased with these two things, then you can marry him. These are the only two factors which we need to be worrying and caring about. Anything that we may think about more than that is not going to solve any problem for us. This has to be very clear. And also the point which is important is to remember is that tawazun and balance which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam has provided among the huquq and fara'is. Which is, unfortunately, we find lots of youth do not know what are their responsibilities. How to balance between the respect of the parents and the respect and the rights of the parents and the respect of your spouse and the rights of your spouse. Lots of people don't know. And this balance between hukuk and fara'is is causing the disputes. Because in Islam, you are not entitled to any haq and right unless and until you have fulfilled your fara'is and fariba. Your hukuk comes after fulfilling your fara'is. پہلے فریضے کے اوپر فریضے کی ادائیگی کرنی ہے, اس کے بعد حق کے مطالبے کا ہم حق رکھتے ہیں. اگر ہم نے فرائض کی ادائیگی نہیں کی ہے تو ہم حقوق کے مطالبے کا بھی حق نہیں رکھتے. مگر ہو یہی رائے معاشرے میں کہ اپنا فریضہ ادا کیے بغیر اپنے حقوق کا مطالبہ ایک دوسرے سے کیا جا رہا ہے, لہذا جھگڑے تو ہونے. اس سے ضرورت اس بات کی ہے کہ ماں باپ اپنے بچوں کو شادی سے پہلے حقوق اور فرائض کا توازن صحیح طریقے سے سکھائیں, تاکہ معاشرے میں یہ کیفیت جو آج ہمیں دیکھنے کو مل رہی ہے, یہ کیفیت دیکھنے کو نہ ملے. صلوات پڑھی ہوں. The greed of this dunya, which is one of the major ways how Satan deceives us, you know, one of the major ways. And we find that when Jabir ibn Abdullah once Rasulullah ke saamne baith ke ah bhari, dard bhari ah jaise insaan bharta hai na, you know, expressed his grief. Prophet said, Prophet has the ilm of ghaib and he understands what Jabir is intending to, you know, so he said, are you having grief and sorrow over not having anything of this dunya? He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. That's the reason of my ah. Prophet said, then Prophet started to count the ni'mats of this dunya. He said, the best thing to drink in this dunya is water, which is shared by the animals also. The same water, animals and hayvanat are also drinking the same animal. The best food in this world is honey, Prophet said. And the reality of honey is that honey is the vomiting of the honeybee. Ye shahad ki makhi ki tay aur ulti hai. Ulti ka naam shahad hai. And that's the reality. Honeybee sucks the, you know, essences from the flowers and then throws up. And this is the throwing up. Ye basically istifraag tay. Shahad ki makhi ki ulti aur tay hai. This is the haqeeqat which Prophet is trying to make us understand. These are the best of the things that we, you know, we give importance and look at the realities. And Prophet said, the best of the dresses to wear is what? Harir. Silk. That's the best of the dress. Of course it's haram for men to wear anything of 100, you know, of pure silk, even including a tie, which is 100% silk. It's haram for the men to wear. And if you happen to wear in your prayers is also batil. So, and then Prophet said, this silk is the vomiting and throwing up of the silkworm. Because silkworm also throws this silk from its mouth. And that's how it weaves the thread around itself. So basically, if we realize the reality of this dunya, we'll never end up doing what it has been done. Imam Hussain alayhi salam, در حقیقت حب دنیا کی بنیاد پر مقتول ہوئے, قتل کیے گئے. That's what Yazid did. You know, Yazid first asked Qazi Shuraih, La'natullahi alayhi. He was a darbari mullah. Even that was the policies of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas throughout the history to hire darbari mullahs. And this policy has not changed yet. We find several darbari mullahs existing today wearing imamas and supporting the tabut. I don't want to be specific, but we have several people available right here in this country who are supporting the tabut and wearing imamas. That's exactly what Imam Khomeini has written in his book Wilayat al-Faqih that he wrote in the early 1960s. Take the imamas off the head of those so-called ulama who are supporting tabut because they don't deserve to wear the libas of Rasulullah. When people are silly and they don't distinguish between haq and batil, yani maulana wo amama to wo bhi pehante hain, wo aap bhi pehante hain, aap to ye keh rahe the, wo to ye keh rahe the. ये क्यों हो रहा है? इसलिए कि अभी तक हम शख्सियतों के पीछे जा रहे हैं, शख्सियतों के पीछे जा रहे हैं। अभी हमें हक व बातिल की पहचान नहीं है। जैसे मौलाए कायनात से किसी ने आके जंग जमल के सिलसिले में कहा कि ये कैसे हो सकता है कि आप अली इब्न अबी तालिब अकेले हक पे हो और इतनी अजीम अजीम शख्सियतें जमल में दूसरी तरफ मौजूद है, उम्मुल मोमिनीन आयशा, असहाबी रसूल तलहा और जुबैर, पूरा आलम इस्लाम उनकी अजमत को जानता है, वो सब एक तरफ और आप अकेले एक तरफ, इस सारे के सारे लोग बादल पे हैं, ये कैसे हो सकता है? यही तो सारी सूरत हाल कल भी मौजूद थी। इस्लाम ने तो पहले ही कहा है कि हमें बसीरत और मारिफत रखनी चाहिए, ठीक है ना? तो कल भी लोग इसी तरीके से धोखा खा रहे थे और आज भी इसी तरह से धोखा खा रहे हैं। मौलाए कायनात ने क्या जवाब दिया? मौलाए कायनात ने वही जवाब दिया जो कि मिस्र के मारूफ मुसन्निफ ताहा यासीन ने ये अपनी किताब में मेंशन किया कि इमाम अली अलैहिस्सलाम का ये वाला कौल, जब से वही का सिलसिला मुनक़ते हुआ, कुरान का नुज़ूल बंद हुआ है, उसके बाद से किसी भी इंसान का कलाम इतना अजीम देखने को आज तक नहीं मिला कुरान के बाद, जितना अजीम ये वाली हदीस है मौलाए कायनात की। ये मिस्र के मुसन्निफ ताहा हुसैन का कौल है, ये वो कलाम है जो मौलाए कायनात ने इस एतराज के मौके पे इरशाद फरमाया था, जब एक साहब ने देखा कि वो भी आप अकेले हक पे हो, इतनी बड़ी बड़ी शख्सियत है, ये कैसे हो सकता है कि वो सारे बातें पे हों? आज लोग कहते हैं मौलाना मामा तो वो भी पहनते हैं, आप तो बनाए थे फकीर की हिमायत कर रहे थे, वो तो ये कह रहे थे। तो हो रहा है ना हमारी आबाद सेंटरों में, टॉम एंड जेरी का कार्टून मैं ऐसे कहता हूँ, एक को बुला लेते हैं वो हिमायत करता है, दूसरे को बुलाते हैं वो मुखालफत करके चला जाता है, नेट गेन इज जीरो, कौम वहीं की वहीं खड़ी है। डिसेंट्रलाइजेशन ऑफ द लीडरशिप जो कि ताबूत का एजेंडा है, वो अमल हो रहा है, कुछ लोग हालत से अमल कर रहे हैं, उनको ये भी एहसास नहीं कि हम किसका टूल बन रहे हैं, किसकी खिदमत कर रहे हैं, किसके किसको फायदा पहुंच रहा है, हु इज बेनिफिटिंग आउट ऑफ इट, इट्स सेंस ही नहीं, बसीरत नहीं ना दीन की, तमाशा बनाया हुआ है दीन की अहकाम, दीन की अकदार का तमाशा बनाया हुआ है, दीन के नाम पर पुरबतन लगा। तो मौलाए कायनात ने क्या जवाब दिया? मौलाए कायनात ने फरमाया कि इन नकल मलबूस, तवज्जो फरमाइएगा, मजलिस इस्तेमाल को पहुंच गई, इन नकल मलबूसन अलैक, तुम धोखे में हो, इन हक्का वल बातिला ला युअरफान बिअक्दार रिजाल, हक और बातिल को लोगों की शख्सियतों से नहीं परखा जाता है कि फना साहब इतने बड़े हैं, अरे ये कैसे हो सकता है कि वो गलत कह दे, अरे वो भी कह सकते हैं गलत, अकल से आपको पहले समझना चाहिए। तो क्या मौलाए कायनात ने क्या फरमाया? एरिफ अल हक तारिफ अहलहू वारिफ अल बातिल तारिफ अहलहू, हक को पहचानो अहले हक को खुद पहचान जाओगे और बातिल को पहचानो अहले बातिल को खुद पहचान जाओगे। आपको बातिल की असल में पहचान नहीं है, जिसकी वजह से ये कंफ्यूजन चल रहा है। अगर हक़ व बातिल की पहचान होती, अगर मारिफत और बसीरत होती दीन के उमूर में, तो फिर जब मौलाए कायनात को हम फारूक आजम मानते हैं हक़ व बातिल में फर्क करने वाला, तो शिया अली भी वही होता है कि जो मौलाए कायनात की सीरत पर अमल करते हुए हक़ व बातिल में तमीज कर सके। ये कैसा शिया यहाँ शिया है कि जिनको अभी तक हक़ व बातिल का फर्क ही नहीं पता चला, ये भी अच्छे हैं वो भी अच्छे हैं सभी अच्छे हैं। ये मैं अर्ज कर रहा था कि दरबारी मुल्लाओं को कल भी इस्तेमाल किया जाता था और आज भी इस्तेमाल किया जा रहा है, और ये दरबारी मुल्ला चाहे मुआविया के जमाने में हो, अबू हुरैरा दरबारी मुल्ला, यजीद के जमाने में आ जाइए काजी शुरैह, और जमाना आगे बढ़ा इमाम बाकर अलैहिस्सलाम का कतादा, और आगे बढ़ गया जमाना इमाम तकी जवाद अलैहिस्सलाम का, तो आप याहिया इब्न अक्सम अबी दाऊद,
लंबी लिस्ट है। बैठ के कभी इन दरबारी मुल्लाओं ही के बारे में गुफ्तगू हो कि किस किस दौर में किस किस ताऊत ने किस किस दरबारी मुल्ला को इस्तेमाल करके कौम को दीन के नाम पे धोखा दिया और कौम जो है वो धोखा खाती चली गई अपनी बेबसीरती की वजह से। असल में तो हमारा जहल और बेबसीरती है जो हमें मार खिला रही है। मैं कुछ लोगों को ये भी नहीं पता चला कि हमें मार क्यों पड़ रही है। अल्लाह की लाठी तो बेवाद है ना। मौलाए कायनात ने दुआए को बैन में क्या किया? खफिया मकर का, तेरा मकर मख्फी है, जिसे हम उर्दू में कहते हैं कि खुदा की लाठी ला आवाज है, फारसी में कहते चुप है खुदावंद से ना डर, अल्लाह की लाठी में आवाज नहीं है। तो मैं आज कह रहा था कि یہ انسان کو بصیرت پیدا کرنے کی مجلس امام حسین کا مقصد ہی یہ ہے کہ ہم آ کے مولا امام حسین علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام، اہل بیت علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے بلند پایا نورانی معارف سیکھ کے ان کے نقش قدم پہ چل سکے اور ان کے دشمنوں سے برات کر سکے، تاکہ ہم ان کے موالی بن سکے، ان کی ولایت پر عمل کرنے والے بن سکے. یہ مقصد مسجد کے منعقد کرنے کا. تو قاضی شریح سے یزید نے کیا مطالبہ کیا کہ فتویٰ لکھیں امام حسین علیہ السلام کے واجب القتل ہونے. ایسے تو نہیں قتل کیا جائے گا نا حسین ابن علی کو، فرزند رسول کو اتنی آسانی سے قتل کر دیا جائے، ایسے تو نہیں. There are lots of people who have a share in that and lots of people are responsible, they are part of the whole bigger plan including قاضی شریح is part of the whole plan.
تو اب درباری ملا سے یہ کہا جا رہا ہے کہ فتوا دیں، کیا جواب دیتا ہے؟ پہچانتا تو ہے نا، جانتا تو ہے نا امام حسین کو.
یہ نہیں ہو سکتا کہ میں حسین ابن علی کے بارے میں، فرزند رسول کے بارے میں فتوا دوں تو میں کل رسول کو کیا منہ دکھاؤں گا. یزید نے کہا میں جانتا ہوں اس شخص کو.
I know him before he, because he, when he walked away from the palace of Yazid to go back to his house, Yazid sent his people before he reaches his house, take this much gold coins, dinar, and fill his bathroom with this much dinar before he reaches his house.
And the same was done. So when he reached his house and he found so many of those dinars and gold coins, he picked up the pen and wrote this fatwa that Hussein ibn Ali is a rebel and baghi who rebelled against the Khalifa of Rasulullah Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and so Hussein ibn Ali is mahdur al-dam, his blood has no respect and he needs to be killed. So this is about the hubb ad-dunya that we are discussing here. And اسی حب دنیا کی وجہ سے یہ نوبت آئی کہ مولا امام حسین اپنا وطن چھوڑ کے، اور اب آج دو محرم کی تاریخ میں امام حسین کا کاروان کربلا پہنچ رہا ہے. دو محرم کو وہاں پہ کربلا ہوا. سو وی فائنڈ دیٹ وین امام حسین علیہ السلام مدینے سے روانہ ہو رہے ہیں، اور روانہ ہونے کے وقت اپنے نانی جناب ام سلمہ کے پاس ودائے آخر کے لیے آئے. جناب ام سلمہ ام المومنین بڑی محترم ہستی ہیں، امام ان کے پاس ودائے آخر کے لیے آتے ہیں، اور جناب ام سلمہ نے یہ واقعہ بیان کیا کہ بیٹا حسین تم چھوٹے تھے، تمہارے بچپنے کا واقعہ ہے، ایک مرتبہ پیغمبر کی طبیعت ناساز تھی، تم میرے حجرے میں تشریف لائے، کہا کہ دروازہ بند کر دو، کسی کو مت آنے دینا، پیغمبر اندر استراحت کرنے کے لیے لیٹ گئے، تھوڑی ہی دیر گزری تھی کہ تم چھوٹے تھے، تم آ گئے کہ ہمیں اپنے نانا سے ملنا ہے. میں نے کہا کہ نہیں، اس وقت تو نانا کی طبیعت ناساز ہے، کسی سے نہیں ملنا چاہتے. کہا کیا ہم سے بھی نہیں ملنا چاہتے؟ کیا مولا نے یہ کہا کیا ہم سے بھی نہیں ملنا چاہتے؟ جب یہ ایک مرتبہ کہا تو میں نے جواب دیا کہ ہاں تم سے بھی نہیں ملنا چاہتے، چنانچہ تم نے رونا شروع کیا اور روتے ہوئے پلٹ گئے. ابھی تم پلٹے ہی تھے کہ پیغمبر کی چڑیا کی آواز بلند، پیغمبر کی آواز بلند ہوئی. اب جو میں اندر پہنچی تو دیکھا کہ رسول جلال کے ہاتھ میں ہے، جلال ہے چہرے پر. کہا ام سلمہ تم نے میرے حسین کو بھی واپس پلٹا دیا. پیغمبر نے کیا فرمایا؟ ایک مرتبہ کہ تم نے میرے حسین کو بھی واپس پلٹا دیا. یہ سننا تھا کہ میں کانپنے لگی، لرزنے لگی، میں دوڑتی ہوئی تمہارے پیچھے گئی، تمہیں گود میں لیا، تمہیں منایا، واپس پیغمبر اکرم کے پاس آئی، پیغمبر کے حوالے کیا، پیغمبر نے اپنے سینے سے چپکا لیا. اس کے بعد میں دوبارہ گھر کمرے کے باہر جا کے بیٹھ گئی، یہاں تک کہ پیغمبر کے رونے کی آواز بلند ہوئی، اب مجھ سے رہا نہیں گیا. دوبارہ میں حجرے میں جب واپس آئی تو دیکھا کہ پیغمبر گریا فرما رہے ہیں. میں نے پوچھا رونے کا کیا سبب ہے؟ تو تمہاری شہادت کا واقعہ میرے ساتھ سامنے بیان کیا اور میں نے رسول اللہ سے کہا کہ یا رسول اللہ ارے مجھے کیسے خبر ہوگی کہ حسین شہید ہو گئے؟ تو ایک مشت خاک کربلا پیغمبر نے میرے حوالے کی، جب تک یہ خاک خاک رہے تو سمجھ لینا میرا حسین زندہ ہے، اور جب یہ خاک خون میں تبدیل ہو جائے تو سمجھنا کہ حسین مارا گیا۔ جب چنانچہ میرے مولا جب آج سرزمین مدینہ پر وارد ہوتے ہیں اور آنے کے بعد مولا نے یہ دریافت کیا، ما اسم هذه الارض، اس سرزمین کا نام کیا ہے؟ کسی نے کہا کہ غادریہ کہتے ہیں، کسی نے کہا کہ نینوا کہتے ہیں، کسی نے کہا کہ اسے کربلا کہتے ہیں۔ جیسے ہی کربلا کا نام سنا مولا فرماتے ہیں اللہم انی اعوذ بکا من الکرب والبلاء، بار رہا میں کرب و بلا سے تیری پناہ مانگتا ہوں، اور یہ موضع کرب و بلا ہے، یہاں ہاہنا واللہ محط رحالنا، ارے یہی وہ مقام ہے کہ جہاں ہمارے خیمے نصب ہوں گے۔ ہاہنا یفتا حریمنا، یہی وہ مقام ہے کہ جہاں اہل حرم کو قیدی بنایا جائے گا۔ ہاں یوز بہت فالنا، یہ مضمون روایت ہے کہ یہاں ہمارے بچے کو ادا کیا جائے گا، یہاں خیمے نصب کر دیے گئے۔ مولا نے یہ ساری غیب کی خبریں سنائی، تمام اصحاب میں یہ خبریں سنی، یہاں تک کہ تاریخ میں ارباب مقاصد نے نقل کیا کہ اسی سرزمین کربلا سے جب جناب ابراہیم کا گزر ہوا تو آپ اپنے مرکب سے ایک مرتبہ نیچے گرے، پیشانی سے خون جاری ہوا، اللہ سے دریافت کیا تو اللہ نے کہا کہ یہ جناب حسین کی یاد دلانے کے لیے تھا۔ اور جب میرے مولا کائنات جنگ صفین میں اسی سرزمین سے گزر ہوا تو ایک مرتبہ تھوڑی دیر کی استراحت جو کی، خواب میں دیکھتے ہیں اور خواب دیکھنے کے بعد بیدار ہوئے، زاروں کا دار کیا شروع کیا، مولا کائنات زاروں کا دار رو رہے ہیں۔ عبداللہ ابن عباس نے جب دریافت کیا تو مولا کہتے ہیں کہ یہی وہ سرزمین ہے جہاں میرا بچہ حسین ذبح کیا جائے گا، میں نے خواب میں بھی دیکھا ہے کہ ایک خون کا دریا ہے جس میں حسین نہا رہا ہے اپنے خون میں اور پکار رہا ہے مدد کے لیے، مگر کوئی اس کی مدد کو نہیں آتا۔
على القوم الظالمين، وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون، إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون، إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها، فعلها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما، پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما، انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما، تمام علماء ربانیین، تمام مراجع کرام، بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار، تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما، تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما، تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما۔ پائلہ ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں، ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما، ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے۔ ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیامین، یا حسین
Now say.